Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Natalie, and Natalie has been a student for really the last 3 years, right?
Yeah, it'll be 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, 4 years this May.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And she's really become like a staple of our community. I mean, she's there pretty much every day. If she's not there, I send her a message like, you know, or an emoji like going like, what the hell is happening? You know, and she's like really consistent. I mean, she helps like the Trinity Foundation with graphic design. I mean, she's helped design like 1% Theory shirts. I mean, she's really dialed into the community. And, you know, the cool thing is like, you know, I've never really heard her story or any of the, I've never heard your story. So it's just like, kind of cool to sit down and talk with you and just kind of like, you know, let the community that, you know, is really worldwide now, kind of get to know who you are. Because they see you on social media and they see you, you know, all of that stuff. And so it's kind of nice to put a story to, you know, an Instagram feed.
Definitely. Yeah.
So thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to this. So first thing is, let's get a little background. And so are you from Columbus?
I'm from Columbus.
Okay. And, which neighborhood did you grow up in?
Westerville. So it's the north end of Columbus.
Okay.
And yeah, I lived in Columbus my whole life. Thankfully, my parents divorced when I was 5, and my mom really wanted to move back to Cleveland, where she was from, but they both decided to live, like, in the same neighborhood, basically.
Oh, wow, that's really nice.
Yeah.
They still had a good enough relationship after that, that they were able to stay in the same neighborhood?
Well, they made good decisions for us.
Okay.
And then it was probably, like, 15 years before they were, like, in the same room.
Gotcha. Is that, you say us, is, you have siblings?
Yeah. Okay. I'm the youngest. I have a older sister and an older brother. And then my dad remarried, when I was pretty young, like 6 or 7. And so then I have a stepsister and 2 stepbrothers. So I was like the youngest of 6.
Oh, wow.
And it was like 3 boys and 3 girls.
I mean, I knew that you had like, you know, I just thought you had the first one.
Yeah.
And not the whole other side. So a total of 6?
6 kids. And whoa. Like we were like, yeah, it was crazy sometimes.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. All like close in age. And so it was like between like 2 years apart.
Wow. So. And so did you stay with your mom or stay with your dad?
It was mixed. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Which was nice. We probably would be maybe at my mom's house more, but we would go back and forth.
Okay.
So it's nice in some ways, but then other times it's like kind of, since they divorced when I was pretty young, it was like always having a bag of my stuff to take back and forth constantly. Gotcha. Or you'd forget something at the other parent's house. And
yeah, a comb or, you know, soap or
your book
that you need for school. It's
right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so did you live close enough that you could, like, ride your bike for to and from?
Not that close.
Okay.
It would be, like, a haul, yeah.
Got it.
But, yeah.
And so did you find it difficult or did you have some sort of struggles with your parents being divorced at that age or did it not really affect you that much?
Yeah, it's like for me, I don't have many memories of them being married.
Okay.
And so it was kind of my normal in a lot of ways. And I think I adapted pretty easily to it. And also like both my parents remarried. My dad remarried and then my mom had a long-term boyfriend who they never actually married, but my stepmom and stepdad kind of were like second parents to me.
Gotcha.
So I would say I probably adjusted the easiest just because I was young.
Yeah. I think my youngest sister, when my parents got divorced, like definitely had it the easiest because she was like six or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was 16 and, you know, or 15 actually. And then she'd been a little bit older than that. But, and then my older sister was older. And so she didn't get affected at all either.
Yeah. You know, so. Yeah.
And so did you go to Westerville North High School?
I didn't. I went to up until middle school, and then I went to a private school.
Okay.
Yeah, so which was kind of on the other side of town, and stayed there through high school.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of interesting because most of my friends were kind of scattered throughout the city and didn't really like have many friends in my neighborhood, just like one close friend.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard when you go to a private school that you have to drive pretty far to or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, 'cause they're from all over basically.
Yeah.
And so, did you find it difficult transitioning from middle school to, you know, like public to private school?
Actually a little bit, just kind of the school change, but it's interesting 'cause like the friends that I met in middle school are like to this day my closest friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's maybe we weren't like that close then, but it was kind of the type of friendships that we kind of moved together on the same path.
Gotcha.
And got to be closer as we got older, even like out of high school. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple friends like that too.
Yeah.
Who also chose kind of like the same, like business paths as like what I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so deep connections with the, you know, like middle school crew for some reason. And really the first part of high school, like the people that I formed there was pretty substantial for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about like, Natalie at this private school. Like what kind of person were you? Were you a bandy or were you like a nerd or were you popular?
I was like everything.
I mean, you know, because my perspective of you is that you actually like you fit in anywhere that you really need to fit in with, like with any type of person. And is that true?
Yeah, okay. Totally. Right. No, really. Like I was everywhere. Like, well, primarily I would probably like if I were to box myself in, I was mostly an art kid.
Okay.
Like I was in the art room all the time.
Yeah.
And then, but I'd be in sports, I'd be in like theater and...
What kind of sports did you play?
I played lacrosse. I played basketball up until it got to be like too competitive.
And yeah.
I just liked practicing. but then when it got to be kind of too competitive, I was like, well, I'm kind of bad at this.
I played on the golf team like at Dublin.
Yeah.
And like I played basically through middle school and, you know, into high school. And I remember like we started like basically betting, you know, like and we would bet things that we actually didn't have, like we would pay the bets and it got so competitive between friends.
Yeah.
That I was like, Dad, I'm done.
Yeah.
And same thing happens with basketball. You don't necessarily bet on it, but like the competition gets so much more and more, you know, higher as you get closer to senior year or even into college. Or whatever.
Yeah. So, but that's like the upside of like a private school with small class sizes.
Right.
And it's kind of like anything, if you wanted to join a team, like you were on the team, we would kind of like always be like scrapping together teams. But I was into lacrosse. That was like, I loved it and was super competitive with that. And I actually was on the all Ohio team.
Yeah.
So we would play like tournaments nationally and like represent like Ohio as a team. It was kind of like a young sport maybe when I was in middle school and high school. It's like more popular
sure.
now. Yeah. So, yeah. But that was really cool. And, the thing about sports is I kind of clashed with the coaches a lot.
Why?
They would kind of try to force a certain agenda. It's typically female coaches in lacrosse, and they would force a certain agenda where it was very kind of cutthroat, kind of pinning us against each other in a lot of ways.
That is terrible.
Or like...
That's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, no, really. Like, they would, you would kind of get... praised for snitching on other teammates, and then the whole team would get punished because of whatever another teammate did that they shouldn't have done. It was like,
yeah, that's terrible.
I don't know.
I don't even know if they're allowed to do that anymore. Like,
no.
I feel like it's totally,
they're not. There was like hazing.
You're definitely not allowed to do that.
No, it was. And at the time, you're like, well, this is what you do.
Right. This is how you fit in here.
Yeah. But it got to be just something where I was like, the thought of pursuing that, like maybe into college.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that'd be terrible.
Yeah. All right.
So tell me a little bit about your art, because, you know, obviously you design shirts, like you had a art interest from a very young age.
Yeah. Yeah. And my whole, I would say my whole family's pretty artistic. Like, in particular, my mom's side of the family's, she's like one of 14 children, mm-hmm. and they're all like musicians or artists or,
oh, wow.
It's super creative, super vibrant personalities. And then my, brother's a musician. My sister is also artistic. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because I always thought of my sister as the more artistic one.
Right.
It's kind of this feeling of like, oh, I'm into that too. And I have like a really distinct memory when I was a kid where I was sneaking around looking for Christmas presents. And there was this, I found one, it was this big box of colored pencils. It was like 100 colored pencils.
Wow.
And my heart sank because I thought it was for my sister. And I thought that was her gift.
And it was yours?
And it was mine.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
This is really like a really special.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is special.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so what kind of art you like?
Well, when I was younger, it was just kind of making anything. And I liked painting the most. And I would be like, you know, I would just be in the art room till 9 o'clock at night. Mm. And then I'd go home and maybe paint till like midnight and then go to school and just,
wow.
Yeah, I just loved it.
And what style of painting? Was it more realistic or was it?
Yeah, more realistic. Okay. Yeah, maybe like kind of expressionist.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, but I just would always be making different things. And also for me, I kind of, when I would make something, then I'd kind of be done with it. And then if, I don't know, it's kind of interesting now. Like, I throw away a lot of my old artwork. I don't, like, covet it.
Really?
Yeah.
You could sell it. What are you doing?
I know. It's just kind of like, it's, like, out of my system, and then I'm kind of done with it, which is
so is it sort of like an emotional release or, like, a mental release? Or does it have nothing to do with that?
I don't know. It's kind of maybe this feeling of, once it's done, I'm ready to move on.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how do you even get the ideas? Like, they pop in your head that you need to, I mean, and do you still do this?
No, I actually like, out of high school, I went to college, Columbus College of Art and Design. So decided I want to go to art school and kind of dropped all other hobbies, went to art school, and
it's a good school too.
Yeah, it's a really good school, really hard program. Just kind of got completely burned out. And then once I started working in graphic design, which is what I do now, I kind of just, when I did it for a living, I stopped wanting to do other creative outlets just for personal need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't really like, it's like when I come home from doing creative things, I kind of was done with it. Didn't want to like draw for fun.
So did you do anything else creative nowadays, like besides like your graphic design stuff?
I'd say more like maybe kind of like general projects or things. Like we just redid our kitchen, so I kind of put together the vision for the kitchen.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, Jess is like freaking, I mean, I have to have the decisions approved by her, but she, you know, she mostly does all of the design, but I really enjoy it too, like picking the furniture and the cabinets and doorknobs and things like that. I really like it.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, do you do a lot of that stuff, or is it just because of, like, you know, renovating a kitchen or whatever?
Yeah, or like I'll like to help out like other people, or then in my work. So I I'm a freelance art director, so I sometimes will get to do some of that for work, like help people like mood board and concept things.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think like kind of moving from like art to being a personal thing to being my profession, it doesn't feel so personal anymore.
Yeah.
It's like it's a great way I make a living.
Right.
But it's not like a personal mission of mine. Right.
But yeah. In the beginning was like, was there some sort of reason why you were kind of like drawn into that?
Yeah, I think because I felt like it was my thing. Like it felt good to identify with that, or if somebody identified, you know, me as an artist, it made me feel really good.
Okay.
Yeah, like a good sense of ownership with gotcha. That. Yeah.
And it, and also because the family was like everyone else was artists too.
It's like, yeah, yeah. So. Or like, and so actually, kind of the other side of our family is. There's a lot of like medical. So my dad's a physician.
Okay.
My mom was a nurse and later nurse practitioner. And my stepmom's a nurse. I've got two siblings that are nurses.
Wow.
And my brother's a biochemist. So there's like the medical side.
And then there's the art side.
Yeah.
That's like two different sides of the brain.
Yeah.
That's science and art.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And do you identify with any of that stuff too? Or those like kind of qualities?
I like always was, I'd always work in my parents' offices, like work the front desk. And that was like before I started working in design. I was always in their office working.
Yeah. How'd you get you get out of college, but, and you know, you go to CCAD. Like, how did you start your own business? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Or how did you get enough, like, you know, guts to actually do that? Cause I think it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was actually, so I went through the hardest time of my life where my mother was diagnosed with cancer when I was 25.
Okay.
And then she, after she passed away 2 years later, I was like at my job and grieving. And I was like, I hate this place.
What job was it?
Yeah, I was at a branding agency.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a small agency and I'd been there for 6 years and was an art director. And there's a time where I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I found it fulfilling. And then once my mom got sick, it was kind of like, oh, I need to hold down this job to, you know, have income. But my whole focus was on my mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So she, yeah, so it was kind of like, then it got to be where it was a job that wasn't very challenging for me so that I could help care for my mom.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so you kind of put up with it while she was going through that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so when did she pass away?
It was 2012.
Yeah. That had to be hard.
Yeah, it was just all consuming. And so my mom and I had a really close relationship, really yeah. close. And it was just like when she was sick, from when the time she told me she was sick, it was just like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Just like.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she had ovarian cancer. It's hard. It was a really painful, painful cancer. And it was kind of one of those situations where from the time she had her initial diagnosis, there was like no one saying she'd pull through. It was just like, we can try to treat it, but
it was like, they call it stage four or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, she was like a step below stage four.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was kind of, it's interesting because I didn't know anyone who had had cancer. It was like not something that was I was familiar with.
Like, right. And this was the first, this first person like in your family that had cancer mm-hmm. too?
Yeah. Yeah. So you think like, so she had an initial surgery and, my mom was, she had her own natural, like healthcare practice.
Right.
She was a naturopath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, so my dad is like a conventional physician, internal medicine, and my mom was a naturopath.
Wow.
It's like her path. Yeah. So, so in true to my mom, she couldn't do anything like conventionally.
Right.
So that was interesting in itself where she like didn't identify as like the typical cancer patient. She kind of like led her own care.
Hmm.
So that was in itself.
Yeah.
Really interesting where,
and usually those, they have, really strong ideas about that, that stuff too. I've went to several naturopathic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing. Cause it's a, it's, it is part of the reason, like I would work in both their offices.
Yeah.
Because I got to know like their patients and see them in their element and helping people. And
yeah.
Yeah. But so for my mom, it was like, it's hard cause she always, like, you know, preached like all these amazing things that were maybe more mainstream now. And like in the 90s, kind of people weren't talking about like a lot of more like healthy lifestyle
right.
things.
Yeah, that's come a long way.
Yeah. So that was like her calling. And yeah. And then she gets cancer and she, it's like, everything changes for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that's like right around the time that I met you too, right?
It was, so actually it was like maybe like 2 years after she passed.
Oh, 2 years after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she like had her, she initially got really sick and then had a remission
mm-hmm.
and things were kind of good for a while. And then she kind of would get sicker and sicker.
Right.
And
when it came back, she'd get sicker and sicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like she would get really sick and then kind of bounce back. But every time she, you know, the disease would just kind of keep wearing away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how were you during this period of time?
It was, I was just in panic mode.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Because she really needed your help or just because like you're the fear of like losing your mother?
The fear.
Yeah.
It was like fear dominated like my life. Yeah. Yeah. It was just.
Did fear dominate before this period?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Except for these 2 years, it was just like basically trying to figure out how to manage the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I was emotionally devastated.
Right. Rightfully so too.
But I also was very proactive in wanting to help her, wanting to care for her
mm-hmm.
in ways that she needed. And I was fortunate that I was decided to stay in Columbus because it was I could be there and my siblings were out of state.
Yeah. All
yeah.
of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so it was a time where I don't remember getting sick. I don't remember being tired. I don't remember you know, physically, I actually felt like I held it together
mm-hmm.
because of like, I knew she needed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny during like really difficult periods of time, like, you know, where you're laser focused on caring
yeah.
for another person or dealing with a particular situation. It's like everything else drops away.
Yeah.
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 I've experienced that many times, where it's just like, this is my sole point of focus and everything else just literally disappears.
Yeah.
And so, did it all kind of come to a head, like, you know, when she passed away? Like, did you start feeling it emotionally, or did you?
Yeah. And yeah, it's interesting using that phrase, it all kind of came to a head. So my husband and I, we met when I was 21. We met when I was in my last year of college, and in this time, we'd gotten engaged and we had set a date for our wedding. And as our wedding date approached, it was evident that we didn't know if my mom was going to make it. And it was just this overwhelming thing, because I kind of knew we had this wedding date planned, and then my mom was sick. And then it's this kind of feeling where my mom and I both could never bring ourselves to say, I needed to change the date of my wedding because she wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So.
Did you change it?
We didn't. Yeah.
And was she there?
She was still alive, but it was actually kind of like when we were heading to our rehearsal for the wedding, I got a call from my aunt that they needed to take her to the ER.
Wow.
And by that point, I was just like, I just couldn't even, I just had to go forward.
Yeah.
It's like we had our wedding planned, and I knew my mom wanted to be there. We wanted her to be there, and she just took a turn for the worse. So she was actually in the ICU on her wedding day. And yeah, and my sister and I, before we went to the wedding, went down to see her. It's just...
Yeah, that's hard.
It's hard, really hard. In my wedding dress. It's just like, it's really hard.
Well, she wanted to see you in the dress.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
And that's a no-brainer.
I know.
Yeah.
So it was a beautiful day, and it was really emotional. We had a small wedding, and it was just, I kind of had this feeling that if we didn't do it then, I don't know if I'd ever have the courage to kind of like muster up that, like, because it's either, you know, my mom's sick, or have a wedding after my mom isn't there. And
yeah,
so it was,
which is just as hard.
Just as hard. Yeah. It was like there was no like easy answer, you know.
Yeah.
Or somebody was like, oh, get married like by your hospital bed. And I'm like, neither one of us wanted that, you know. So then it was probably 3 weeks after we got married that my mom passed away. And my sister and I were actually by her side when she did.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was, yeah, just, I mean, I was just done.
Yeah. I had some friends that, you know, lost their moms or dads, like, in high school and stuff, and it was obviously super hard for them.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, but you about made me start crying. So, is this about the time that yoga showed up for you?
Kind of. It's interesting.
You quit your job?
Yeah, I quit my job.
Did you quit right after?
No, I wanted to.
Okay.
I wanted to so bad. And I was kind of like, they messed up my paid time off. So I was like in the hole, and I would like have to. I took family medical leave.
Oh, okay.
To care for my mom, help care for my mom. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I wanted to quit my job right away, but then it was kind of like...
Then you owed him.
Yeah, like, oh, I guess I need probably some money. And so... But yeah, we weren't very busy. They kind of were making a shift away from actually what I did at that company, right, where they laid off the designer under me and said they weren't going to hire any more designers. And so I'd like show up at 10, take a 2-hour lunch, leave at 4.
Wow.
For like a while, just trying to get fired.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but it's hard because it was like I put everything into caring for my mom, and I actually was her like primary decision maker. Like I had to sign all the paperwork and make all the calls and handle opinions from the whole family. And then it's like I put everything into it, and then it's like nothing, just left of like,
yeah, it's like,
yeah,
stops. Like that has definitely happened to us too with my grandma.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you put so much time and energy and then all of a sudden it's just, you know,
yeah.
Which is a hard period also, mm-hmm. you know, and that's mm-hmm. actually where it's maybe the most reflective, where it's like, man, you know, could there, you know, like for us, like we were always asking, like, should we have made different decisions and stuff like that with regard to my grandma's health or whatever. But, you know, that's a hard period of time too.
Yeah. Oh, so yoga was something that my mom and I would actually do when she was sick, because it was something we both, liked doing together, and she was trying to be just more active. And
I think you told me that one of the first couple times that, you know, you came to class, you were like, I was like, have you done this before?
Yeah.
And you were like, well, I used to do it, but you weren't doing like Ashtanga yoga.
No, it's just kind of vinyasa, I guess.
And you were like, I used to do it with my mom or something like that. I remember you saying that to me, and I was like, oh, okay. And I took note of it because I didn't know it. I mean, that would have been like 4 years ago.
Yeah. And so I would, and then I would go to just an occasional vinyasa class. And I liked it a lot, but I kind of always, every time I was in a class, I felt like, how do these people know how to do this?
Yeah, they don't really teach it. It's just kind of like flow along with us. Like,
And then they'd be like, or just try this at home later. Yeah.
Or child's pose.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going to take my own time to do this. I'm in the class now.
I'm in the class now. Help me now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, but I liked jogging. And so sometimes I would go to yoga because I felt like it stretched me out.
Sure.
And
where did you go to practice?
At the LA Fitness.
LA Fitness.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone that.
And it was really, thinking back, it was kind of like, maybe it was like very fitness focused, like hold something.
I mean, I feel like all of those classes kind of at the gym, there's definitely a fitness aspect to it. I mean, some of them have like little weights and things like that. So yeah, there's definitely a fitness focus.
Yeah.
So how did you find your way to Ashtanga Yoga Columbus?
Yeah. So I was at this job where I was miserable, and I knew I wanted to make a change, and my husband and I both decided we wanted to quit our jobs.
That's a big change. You guys did it at the same time?
We did.
That's crazy.
And because he said, I'm going to quit my job. And I was like, you can't quit your job. I'm going to quit my job. He's like, well, let's both quit our jobs.
So what did he do? Just to give a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, he has a painting business.
Okay. But what did he do before?
He was working for another business. So he wanted to like go out on his own.
Of course.
So yeah, same thing. We're like, we'll do what we're doing now and we'll just work for ourselves and we'll figure out the rest later.
Right.
Yeah. So we just kind of saved, made a plan, quit our job. And so in this time in my life, I'm totally miserable. And I make like a list of like all the things I wanted more of. Mm-hmm. And it was like very, very basic things. Like, and it was interesting, you know, and things on there would be like, you know, have time to do yoga, baking, gardening, just things that I enjoy.
How about more vacations? Was that on there?
Yeah, traveling.
Because you literally take so many vacations. Every one that I every single time you're like, I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you'll be back on Tuesday.
And I'm never practicing when I'm gone.
I'm like, again?
Yeah.
Like, Yeah.
So
you're a vacation taker for sure.
Yes. So I went through this period where I would, I quit my job and I wanted to like make space in my life to bring in things that actually fulfilled me in a way. And I found that I like wasn't doing all the yoga I thought I would be doing.
Yeah.
And I would hear people talk about, oh, in my yoga practice, oh, in my practice this morning. And I was like, are they making this up? Like, I don't understand.
Right.
So I just like go to my LA fitness class. So once a week, twice a week. And I knew Danielle.
Yeah.
And
how did you know her?
I knew her through my brother-in-law. They met. They both worked at a salon. They both did hair.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. And so I knew Danielle had moved down from Cleveland to teach yoga in Columbus. And if you've met Danielle, you know she's the best.
I know. She's freaking...
And so...
We miss her, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, Danielle is like the coolest. She's so... I don't know. I was like, I want to do what she's doing. So then it just kind of like fell into my lap that Ashtanga Columbus was like a quarter mile from my house.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I went in there on an evening and there was maybe only one person in there and Danielle was teaching and she was like, have you done Ashtanga? And I was like, yeah. I was like, no, I didn't know.
Everyone says that actually. Everyone who walks in, like newer people, they're like, yeah, I've done it. And I think that most of the time, the person who's teaching it usually would say that. And so then they're not necessarily like lying to you.
Right. Because there's like poses that are in the sequence.
And so then they get the information is like, oh yeah, I've done Ashtanga. And then you're like giving it to them and it's like clear that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
Because it's the same poses, but it's not really done in the same way or whatever. So.
Yeah. And so she just taught me a couple things and then told me to come back. And it was.
And you did?
Yeah. Yeah. It was so the opposite of overwhelming. It was like, so like I can do this completely.
Yeah.
And you could come at any time you really wanted to in the hours. I loved that.
I knew that you were going to say that because literally, I don't know if there's anyone all over the schedule like you. It's like all of a sudden you're there at 5 and then the next day you're there at 7:30 and then it's like you're there at 5:30 and it's like 6:15.
I think I've been there at like 8:30 before.
That's true too.
That gets a look. Yeah. Yeah. So I loved that. And I just fell into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went on a vacation and could do the standing poses while I was there. I remembered them. And I came back. And I think I actually hadn't even been when you were teaching yet. And so I came back and and it was cool meeting you. And I thought it was when I first met you, I think you were maybe just starting to be more open about your story or you were kind of had gotten that out there. And I was just really impressed how you were able to talk about your past and your story. And it was a part of you, but it wasn't all consuming of you.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really cool. Makes me emotional.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Cause I thought it's just refreshing because it was kind of a way that I didn't think it'd be possible to kind of get to a place mentally where you can be open and feeling things about your past that may have been very traumatic or difficult and have them like flow freely and be able to communicate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where at the time I was so closed in. It's like, I can't talk. It was really hard for even me to talk about my mom at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the cool things is like you helped put together the cover of the book.
Yeah.
Like you got one of the first copies. Like it was, that was amazing. It's really cool that you were able to put together like the cover of the book because I mean, I didn't know that it meant that much to you, you know, but you know, you were, I think I dropped off the first copy actually to your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I was so excited about like, you know, putting it out there or whatever.
Yeah. But it was just cool. Cause I thought this, all it was is doing yoga.
Yeah.
And suddenly these things that weigh you down or tied me down just started to lift. And
you felt better?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was able to, well, I take that back. It isn't just doing yoga. Doing the yoga made me feel like I could take head on the things that I needed to in my life. So whether it's taking the step to go to talk therapy or seeking support from people, mm-hmm. it helped me. Every time something would come up, I would face it every morning where normally I could easily ignore it.
Yeah.
Easily just keep going about my life.
And so the yoga like gave you an opportunity to process it?
Yeah.
Not to put words in your mouth, but is that what was happening?
Yeah, processing. And then also I'm very kind of, I'm not a type to be like head in the clouds necessarily. I am very, I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm a highly emotional person. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't have emotions, but it helped me get in touch with my emotions and how I'm actually feeling. Because I didn't realize how disconnected I had been from how I actually feel.
Yeah.
I would more so focus on somebody else or focus on another relationship in my life and not focus on myself in an emotional way.
Yeah.
That's where I was really lacking. And it was just that time on my mat to be consistent and be there daily, I think was the most powerful thing.
Yeah.
Where I hadn't had something so consistent like that allowed me to just have like the space for myself.
Yeah. I mean, and you've come a long way too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, I feel like just from the bird's eye view that I get, it's like, you know, you're different mm-hmm. on like many different levels. Not that really like it's not that you're change like fundamentally who you are. Like I felt like you always fit in, but like you're just like open to different possibilities that like, maybe weren't there before. And also like you've really grown in our community too.
Yeah.
Like I don't know really anyone who like you haven't come in contact with that is like, you know, I mean, you got a bunch of best friends in there.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's really cool. And it's helped me be softer and like just more calm, where I think someone would probably describe me as a chill person, mm-hmm. but it's an inner calmness that I probably never had before.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that is actually part of it. Like there's like this inner calmness. But there's like also, I think that part of the reason why you fit in so well with people, or at least my perspective, is that you are perceived as like confident and cool.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like really appealing because I feel like everyone's trying to do that to a certain extent. Like, and you got that brand taken care of.
Totally.
Like, where, like, I think that's, it's part of the reason why you mesh so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And like speaking for myself, confidence was never something I struggled with. But where I struggle is avoiding, avoiding things, like anxious avoidance.
Yeah.
That's my struggle.
And so is that why you go on so many vacations so you don't have to work on Dui Pada? Is that what this is about? Were you just like, you just told me the whole thing right there.
It's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. So it's, yeah, the drive for the daily practice is one of the most impactful things about the practice. Yeah.
So what's it mean to you to have like a teacher and have a community surrounded you?
Yeah, it's, I've really enjoyed being a student, and it's like since when I finished my degree in college, I was like one and done. I don't want to go back to school, and about killed me. And then, but yeah, no, I've enjoyed being a student where it's like actually learning. I mean, really just you holding the space, because I feel like maybe of all the kind of regular students at AYC, you are the easiest on me. Mm-hmm. Like some people, you're all over them. But I remember one time you said to me, oh, if I did that to Natalie, she'd walk out the door. And it's probably true.
Yeah. I mean, I give you a little bit of a hard time, but I mean, for the most part,
it's,
like,
it's taken time though, for real. Cause when I was in there, it was like, you said I needed space, and I did.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh yeah, like that, you know, makes sense to me that she needs some sort of space. And there were some people like at that time where I was like super, mean to, I'm not really mean to anyone anymore. I mean, I don't have to be. Everyone's like doing what they need to do and working through their own stuff. But I just remember like thinking about the strategy of like what Natalie has going on. And it's like, oh yeah, like she's not someone I can be mean to, or she's not, you know, she just really needs encouragement and support and like someone to hold her accountable to a certain level.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's everything to have a teacher. To have that, and it's not something I probably would be doing for myself at all.
Yeah. And so why does the practice work for you? Or why in particular do you think Ashtanga yoga worked for you?
I think the fact that it's taught is huge, that it kind of, the teachers hold the space so that you don't feel like you have to do everything on your own. Mm-hmm. You can just be receptive. And so that was huge. Cause I mean, really, like, I don't think any other, you know, type of thing I've done has been like that. It's the, you know, the fact that there is a sequence and you're following it, and it kind of takes all the guesswork out of it so that you can work on, I can work on all my internal guesswork that I'm doing all day long.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then I just loved the way, I just got really into the way it made me feel, where it was it's a heavy practice. When I was first learning the primary series, it was like being through the meat grinder. It was like, I had no idea how people followed the breath count.
It's so hard.
So hard.
Right.
But when I'd finish, I would feel just a lightness and a calmness. Where in other times when I'd be in a vinyasa class, you'd be in Shavasana and they would be like, and now focus on your gratitude. And I was like,
I don't have any.
Leave
me alone.
I'm a miserable person and not thankful for anything.
Right.
So where, cause I think like going through a period of grieving, the thoughts that would pop in my head would be negative thoughts, painful thoughts, sad thoughts. And it started to be where just as freely more positive thoughts would come in.
Yeah.
And slowly. It wasn't dramatic. And I think that was really good about Ashtanga yoga, is there's no quick changes. It's like how a river forms a canyon, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing a little bit of your heart and your story and kind of, you know, giving us some background. I think I speak for everyone to say that, you know, like, you're definitely loved and supported in our community and even abroad too. And so I think that, you know, it was really beautiful hearing you share like what was going on with you and like how you made it to Ashtanga. So thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.